Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is taken from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. You may be seated. Merry Christmas. You don't hear that as often anymore in the stores because the world is really winding down and not thinking about Christmas anymore. But it's only the third day of Christmas, and so I think we can very joyfully say to one another, Merry Christmas. And I'd like to share with you a Christmas poem today, actually. And this poem is inspired by one of my favorite poets of all time, Dr. Seuss. And so think of it as a bit of an homage to the good doctor, but also more importantly, that it is a remembrance of what our Lord and Savior has done for us. It was chilly at Christmas in Diggory Doo. All the roads were snowed in, and the icy wind blew. But warm in their house sat the family Mott. Their fire was blazing so toasty and hot. In this cozy abode, there was Mama and Pop, and off in the corner sat Grandpa DeLop. Up front were the children, both Sally and Ed, with a mound of nice presents to shake and to shred. Both Sally and Ed were awake with the sun. They had dreamed of this pile of presents and fun. I hope there's some candy in here, wondered Ed, and a ninjeridob with a changeable head. Little Sally replied, and a crumpaloo too. Not to mention a double electric kazoo. Ed said in return, and a zumbity-doon. If it's not under here, then Christmas is ruined. With dreams of big presents and sugary feasts, the Mott children dove in like two ravenous beasts. They ripped off the bows and the ribbons they tore, quickly opened each box to see what was in store. A ninjeridob and a zumbity-doon, and a pair of padoodle horns that played a tune. There were jum-jums aplenty and even some drums, and 1,001 supersized sugary plums. Just then, little Sally let out a great whine. This is not what I wanted. This cannot be mine. What could she be thinking about? Pouted she, as she held up a present for all there to see. The tag, From Aunt Margot, was taped to the box, and inside were a pair of thick, hand-knitted socks. What a terrible gift, just for stinky old feet. I wanted a toy or some sweet thing to eat. From the corner, a cough interrupted her pout, and around turned the children to figure it out. Old Grandpa DeLop, he had something to say. My dear children, I'll tell you a story today, and this is a story that you both need to hear. He said, his eyes twinkling, his voice so sincere. All these what's-its and gizmos can be quite a ball, but this story's about the best gift of them all. It happened in Galilee land long ago, in the days of the governor Quirinio, when Caesar Augustus sent forth his decree so to count every man in his territory. Mary was a young maiden of King David's clan, engaged to wed Joseph, a Nazarene man. They hadn't much money or status or power, but God had a plan. Now this was the hour. An angel appeared, much to Mary's surprise. He said, "You have found favor in God's gracious eyes. A baby named Jesus Christ you will receive." In bewilderment, Mary asked, "How can this be?" "By the Spirit," he said, "is this child given. Through him will the sins of the world be forgiven. This son is a present from God the Most High." "I am the Lord's servant," was Mary's reply. And so Joseph took Mary, and they both went down to the city of David, to Bethlehem town. The journey was lengthy and dusty, and they could not wait to at last find a place they could stay. But the Bethlehemites, who in Bethlehem dwelt, closed their doors, shut their homes, stayed inside, for they felt that they just could not spare any room for this pair and the poor humble babe who was to be born there. Mary lay in a stable and a bed full of hay, and her firstborn, a son, was born on that day. They had no fine robes, so they wrapped him up tight. In a food trough they set him to sleep his first night. Little Jesus, the King of the world, fast asleep by the cows and the oxen, the goats and the sheep. This child, so poor and so lowly and small, was the richest of gifts from our God for us all. But how is a baby a present? Asked Ed. Well, let's take a look at the life that he led. This Jesus of Nazareth grew to a man. He taught and did miracles throughout the land. He spoke about mercy and holiness too, and about the great action that he had come to do. He was nailed to a tree, and he died a harsh death. That's awful, said Edward as he held his breath. But he meant to, continued old Grandpa Delop, for he wanted the death of all sinners to stop. It should have been us, but he took our place. He died so that you would receive only grace. But he did not stay dead. 3 days later he rose. Now he lives, and he gives to us heavenly clothes. That's the greatest of presents on all of the earth. But let us go back to the day of his birth. At that same time, some shepherds were watching their sheep. They sat on a hillside and tried not to sleep. All at once, a bright angel of glory drew near. They cried out in terror. He said, "Have no fear. In the city of David, good news is outpoured. A Savior is born unto you, Christ the Lord. You will find him in cloths, in a manger abed." And then angelic hosts filled the skies overhead. They sang glory to God in the highest degrees. They sang peace to his people with whom he is pleased. Then the angels were gone, and it quieted down. They said, "Let us go down to Bethlehem town." There they saw the new king, and they fell to their face, to the child who had saved the entire human race. Then they left in great wonder and bid him farewell, and rushed through the town with such good news to tell. These poor humble shepherds gave glory to God. Their message was wondrous, though some found them odd. This good news is the greatest that one can unfold. It is just like the prophet Isaiah foretold. Those who speak the good news have such beautiful feet, be they sweaty or dirty or humble or neat. On the mountains they speak words of peace and God's reign. They shall break forth in singing a joyous refrain. To tell the good news those dear shepherds desired. How'd they know what to say? Little Sally inquired. The shepherds were poor and dirty and meek. There's no way that I would know what words to speak. A smile appeared on old Grandpa's kind face. God chooses such messengers to speak his grace. Not the high and the mighty, the proud and the tall, but the lowly and humble, the gentle and small. What a change these meek shepherds received on that night. When they spoke Jesus' love, they were lovely and bright. And since they knew his mercy, they wanted to grin. They'd heard the good news, they could not keep it in. And now I speak to you that good news, just the same as those shepherds once heard on the night when Christ came. You are loved by your Savior. He died just for you. And he rose, and you know that his promise is true. In unison, Sally and Ed gave a shout. So that is what Christmas is really about. Little Sally looked anxious. She started to speak. Can my feet be beautiful, lovely, and sleek? If I tell about Jesus and tell it a lot? Grandpa smiled. Of course they can, Sally Lou Mott. When you tell about how Jesus Christ died and then rose, then you will be beautiful down to your toes. Grandpa said, do you understand why I was miffed when you did not appreciate Aunt Margot's gift? He picked up the present. He gave her the box. With such beautiful feet, you should wear some warm socks. That Christmas was special in Diggory Doo. Ed and Sally and Mama and Pop felt so new. They were thankful that Jesus was born as a boy, and so Grandpa led them in a song of great joy. They sang glory to God, to the Father and Son, and the Spirit Eternal, the three who are one. As it was at the first, and it ever shall be, they sang praise to the Lord who gives mercifully. Amen.